Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join us this morning. I'm very pleased to share with you this morning that a returning guest was on not that long ago, who's a friend, ministry partner, and senior pastor of Rock Harbor Church right here in Bakersfield, is joining me once again in the studio. Pastor Brandon, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here, as always.
Thanks.
Last time we were together, we took actually more than one program to discuss all that we wanted to discuss, and I'm assuming that's probably what's going to happen again this morning.
I'm sure it will.
I'd like to really largely turn our attention to the topic homosexuality and the church.
Okay.
A church is a family with all of its diversity, and heaven knows no two churches are exactly the same. Today, when it comes to the subject matter of homosexuality, congregations appear, let me take that back, they don't appear. Many congregations today are just very, very different from one another and how they view the whole subject matter.
Sure.
I recall, knowing that you would be here this morning, some 32 years ago when I entered church for the first time in my life, 32 years ago, the church regarding the subject matter of homosexuality was dramatically different than the church that we have today.
Yeah, I agree.
Today, we have churches that have completely adopted the silent mode on the subject.
That's right.
We have gay-affirming churches.
That's right.
We have churches that are very fearful, some that, tragically, unfortunately, are gay-bashing. But fortunately, also, we still have some churches that are sold out to Christ's way. They have been unwilling to lower the bar on the authority of Scripture. Thank goodness. Thank God.
Amen.
Why do you suppose the church today has become so diverse on this whole subject?
I think that's an excellent question. We could actually spend the entire show on that very question. But let me answer this in as short a time as I possibly can, because it's multi-leveled, I guess, the answer. When you say the church, we're talking about Christendom, and that includes churches that may or may not be Orthodox. So a part of that answer to that is, when you say the church, that includes apostate churches, that includes liberal churches, that includes theologically unsound. In fact, some of them we would consider a cult. I don't expect the false church, which is the tares that grow up along the wheat, as Jesus talked about in his parables, I don't expect the false church or the apostate church to theologically be sound. I expect them fully to embrace what the world is doing. And in fact, what we see with them is they follow the world right behind them. Whatever the world's doing, they're doing. So when you have the secularist or the humanist or anyone that's not a Christian outside looking in, they lump the church into a hole and say, well, you got churches over here that are doing that. Why are they? They seem to be more kind, more affirming, more loving. And I think I talked to you one time, I drove through Santa Barbara, and almost every church I passed had a gay pride flag in front of it. Well, we obviously know as Bible-believing Christians, that's probably an apostate church. And then I looked at the particular denomination, and I realized, oh, yeah, they have apostatized. So you have that element of Christianity that's always going to be with the culture. But then, if we get into the real churches, the true Bible-believing churches, okay, there's issues going on. And I think you have to understand and unpack what's going on. And I think you have to look to motivation. And I hate to get into motivation, but you can't explain it in any other way. Let me explain. Churches who are looking for the motivation of nickels and noses, and what I mean by that is their measure of success is how many people they have in the pews and how much money they're bringing in on a Sunday. There's tons of churches that operate like that. They measure their success based on that. Well, if that is your motive, then you're definitely going to edit what you say in the pulpit. You're not going to say certain things. You're not going to come out with biblical truth because you know if you say certain things, it's going to run off the crowds. So you have that element of Christianity. And then you have other churches that simply, like we've talked about, have chosen, I'm just not going to say anything.
Right.
We're going to choose the sin of silence because we don't want to offend anybody. And we're going to pretend like this is not an issue. And that is I believe, a cowardly way out. And a lot of churches are choosing that. And the model they'll say to their people, well, we want to be known for what we're for, not what we're against, which is a liberal motto. Because, as you know, the sword cuts both ways.
Yes.
The sword of truth says what we're for and what we're against. And so they choose this third way, not so much even to make money or put people in seats. They just think that is a loving thing to do. The opposite is true. It's the most shameful thing to do because they're saying they're ashamed of the Lord, of what he has said about this issue.
Yes.
So you have that. A shame issue is always, you see this in the Gospels, you'll see it in the epistles and Book of Acts. Then now you come to the remnant. The Bible-believing, authority-based believers who are holding the line. And there's different camps in that. Some of them are just simply ignorant of not knowing how to deal with the subject matter. And so they deal with truth, but they don't have any grace. But then you finally whittle it down to the small number of churches that do get it. And what are they doing? They're dealing with people with grace and truth and a nice, healthy balance.
Yes.
And I think, so to answer your question, that's why there's so different many aspects to the church that people are seeing, and they can't figure that out, what's happening.
Well, there again, relating to this whole subject matter personally, again, 32 years ago, my coming into church for the first time, there was no gray on this matter. It was either black and white.
Sure.
And today, again, just as you shared, opinions and views are all over the map.
Yeah.
But where I find myself scratching my head on a very regular basis is, again, on the subject matter of homosexual practice. I'm going to clarify before I go further. Even Christian men and women can be tempted by same-sex attraction.
Sure.
There's a difference between temptation and practice.
That's true.
But within the totality of Scripture, I have never, ever been able to find even one Scripture that validates, encourages, or says homosexual practice is okay.
Right.
I've never found a scripture that says that. How about you?
I haven't either, and there's only 7 verses, you know, in the Bible that deal with it, and every one of them is against it. But what's happening, Philip, as you know, you have liberal theologians, you have homosexual theologians who are now reinterpreting what those things mean, and they put all these theological gymnastics and caveats to it. Like a guy like Matthew Vines who says, well, Paul, yeah, he seems to be against homosexuality, but he's against idolatry. And it's not, it wasn't homosexuality. Right. It was against, because the homosexuality was in an idol situation and a temple prostitution situation, not in a monogamous relationship. And you're like, where did you get that, guy?
Yes.
And so that's what's going on. And you have people who want to change the Bible to suit their needs.
Yes. And pro-gay apologists, pro-gay theologians, have done their job well in changing what is the truth of Scripture. Revisionists also. What troubles me and what greatly, greatly bothers me today is that pro-gay theologians and pro-gay apologists, they theorize and speculate on what Scripture does not say.
Right.
And I'm focusing on what it clearly states.
Right.
Again, in my own life, when I began to read the Scriptures of what God had to say about homosexual practice, it was abundantly clear to me.
Yeah.
it was crystal clear.
Right.
But today the waters are muddied.
That's right.
And man has just got his finger in there a little too much.
I agree. So I think it's a twofold aspect that what you're describing is there's no doubt the false teachers were predicted. They're here. And not only are they teaching people false theology, they're teaching false morality.
Yes.
And so you have that aspect. But here's the deal. The other aspect of this coin is the fact that so many Christians who are sitting in the pews are ignorant of what's happening. They're ignorant of the scripture, so when a pastor tells them, they don't know how to respond to it. They don't know, because if you go back 30 years ago, the people in the pews knew a lot of Bible and could say, hey, that guy's wrong. But now they can't respond to that. So you have a perfect storm's happening right now. Ignorance in the pews and a misdirection going on in the pulpit. Well, that's why apostasy was predicted by Paul. So,
well, I would offer that I think some, including men and women in ministry, they've taken the whole love aspect and they've really taken it to a point that is anything but scriptural.
Yes.
Because if we truly, truly love someone, we have their best interests at heart, we genuinely care about them, we're going to share the truth with them. That is loving.
That's right.
Withholding God's truth, I don't see as loving whatsoever.
Absolutely. If you watch the model of Jesus, it says he came in grace and truth in that order. And if you watch his interactions with people in the gospel, just take, for instance, the woman at the well. You'll see in that story grace given to her, but then at the end of it, he gives truth.
Yes.
He goes, yeah, the one you are with is not your husband. You've had five others. And so he brought the truth, but he connected to her first. And I think that's where the balance is. But a lot of people don't do that. They want to just cut the truth out and just give all grace or love and no truth. Well, that's not Bible. That's unbiblical to do things like that.
And really, truthless grace accomplishes nothing.
Absolutely. It's just relationship without reality.
Yes.
That's what it is. And you can't operate without reality. And because what we see is the further you get away from truth, the more insane people get. And that's not to be derogative. But if God is the ultimate source of reality and what he says is true, the further I get away from that reality, the more insane I will become. Sin makes us crazy.
Yes.
We don't think straight anymore. And so that's what's happening, is they're getting away from the thing that brings them back to reality.
Yes. I would also submit that I think where some of the lines have become withdrawn, if you will, is our understanding of the difference between acceptance and approval.
Yeah.
As Christians, we accept all people. They
right.
are here because God divinely appointed they would be here.
Right.
But it does not mean that we have to approve of how anyone chooses to live. And I think as Christians, we have the responsibility to going to an individual, a man or a woman, say, you know, I'm concerned about you. The direction in life that you're headed, it greatly, greatly concerns me. There's a better way.
That's right.
Acceptance and approval are dramatically different. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And I think what the mistake that the church has made about this acceptance and approval is conflating salvation with discipleship. Because salvation is available to all. God will accept all. Man, woman, female, slave, free, Greek, Jew, it doesn't matter. He accepts all into salvation. But once you become a Christian, now you practice discipleship. And in discipleship, he approves of certain things and he disapproves of certain things. That's the whole idea of rewards. So our discipleship cannot be conflated with salvation. And that's where it gets muddied up. You have to keep both aspects apart. But if you put acceptance into discipleship, you will have no call to change and
right.
to become more like Christ.
Right.
That's how a lot of Christianity is being sold.
I think we have to come back again always, always to the truth of God's word. And it, clearly today, many are struggling with the truth that God's word does not change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
It does not adapt to culture. The word of God transcends it. Agreed?
Agreed. And that's been the attack right now, because you have verses, the seven verses I talked about, that are black and white, and there they are. A third grader could understand what they're saying.
Yes.
So you have to say to people, don't trust your eyes. Don't trust what you're reading. I have to reinterpret this for you because it doesn't mean what you think it means. That's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, that's what's happening to a lot of people. And they say, okay. And because of their ignorance, they fall prey to this.
Absolutely. There was a time when the church set societal standards.
Yeah.
I would submit that right now we're living in a time where that is a bit in question. Should a culture war in society dictate to the church what the church is supposed to believe? That seems to a large degree what we're facing today.
It is. And it's always, if you look at the, especially the church in America trails society. And wherever society is, the church is like maybe 5 to 7 years behind it. And eventually it reaches that point, but society keeps moving and the church keeps trailing. And it is trying to play this game with society. And a lot of it, Philip, is cloaked under the guise of evangelism. We're doing this to evangelize people. So the idea of certain churches not saying this, that this kind of lifestyle is damaging, destructive, well, that goes against our evangelism purposes, and we're trying to reach people. And so a lot of it, of this, I want to be like the world, is covered up by evangelism. Look, Paul named Demas. He said, this guy abandoned me on the mission field because he loves this world too much. Loving this world is a Christian problem, and it's a big problem, and they love it so much. If you love it that much, you will become like them. And unfortunately, a lot of our pastors and churches are worldly, and I hate to say it, but that's the truth. Why would they follow the world down this path to Hades? This will destroy people. But yet, they want to be accepting and loving to something that's going to kill them. That would be like going to the doctor we talked about last time of saying, you know, do you want him to tell you you have cancer if you have cancer? Yeah, well, no, I just want to be feel good. I want to feel good about this. So just give me an aspirin and say everything's going to be okay, pastor or doctor. And that's what church has become now. I go there, you make me feel good about myself, and I don't work on my dysfunction or my proclivities. And I walk out feeling I'm okay.
Yes.
That's what church has turned into. But that's the world church. That's what's happened. And unfortunately, it leaves people with no help.
Or truth.
They can't get. The truth sets you free. If we truly believe that, then you got to get the truth eventually to the person. I establish connection through grace and love, and then I get the truth to help them. I want the grace and love so they can trust me that I'm here to help you.
And truth often cuts very, very, very deep.
It does.
Before it brings about healing and restoration and wholeness. And again, relating to this personally, I remember many, many years ago, well-meaning Christians, they said some very hard things to me. I mean, hard for me to take at the time.
Sure.
But I knew they had my best interests at heart. But a lot of what they shared with me, it cut pretty deep.
I'm sure they, yeah.
But I'm thankful to this day they did not lower the bar on the authority of God's word.
Yeah, so you give them credit for that. And not, you know, they didn't handle the situation perfectly, but they did toe the line. And right now, the opposite is happening. The pendulum has swung, is basically the other way. Instead of being holding the line, no one's holding the line, and they're just trying to be as loving as they possibly can, which ends up loving them straight to destruction.
Yes.
Because they're not helping them.
And you're bringing to the conversation a major, major buzzword in the mix of all this subject matter, love. Because one of the main pro-gay arguments is, well, if God is love, then any two individuals, whether they are the same sex or not, it's okay because God is love. Well, let's talk about love.
Yeah.
Love is much more than a feeling or an emotion.
That's
For
right.
a Christian, true love is obedience to God the Father.
That's right.
That said, none of us hit a letter perfect every day.
Yeah.
But true love is obedience to Him. We need to make sure we're going the right direction according to His word.
Sure.
And thankfully, we have the Bible as a textbook for life. We know the holy boundary lines that we are to strive to live within.
That's right.
And I would submit once again, the reason God's been so clear, crystal clear in His word about certain behaviors being not okay with Him is He's trying to protect us from unseen danger.
That's right.
We don't get to see all the way down to the end of the road. God the Father does.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the end and the beginning and everything in between. So I really submit he's trying to protect us.
Absolutely. If you look at the different definitions of love in the Greek New Testament, you have several definitions. There's not just one word for love. But the love that you and I are talking about, that God extends to us and that we extend to other people, is agape.
Yes.
And if you start unpacking what that word means, you boil it down to something like this. I seek the best for the individual. That's how I can love an enemy. Even though I don't have to fellowship with that enemy, I can still seek the best for my enemy, not seek revenge and whatnot. Okay, so if I use that definition of agape with anyone caught in the homosexual lifestyle or whatever the issue is, whatever the sin is, I am supposed to seek the best. And by definition, that means to help them get free from whatever that is, any addiction, any proclivity, whatever. So just by definition of the biblical word, you're right on target. Love is not some emotional feeling. Agape means I love my enemy. There's no emotion in there. It's simply I seek the best for him.
Yes.
So they're using our biblical word agape, and redefining it in their idiosyncratic way, which doesn't mean love at all if you redefine the word agape to what they're talking about. They're redefining it as some emotional connection, whatever, and that we're all accepting. That's not the definition of agape. So just you can see what God even told us just by the definitions of words.
Yes.
It keeps us in line.
Let's return just for a moment back to churches that have adopted the silent mode.
Yeah.
There again, I've become very, very troubled because conversations that I have with men and women in the throes of a battle with same-sex attraction, sitting in my office, we're talking about this very same subject, and have them sit across from me and say, well, my church, my pastor's okay with homosexuality.
Yeah.
I know that's not the case, so I take it a step further. I'd say, how do you know that to be sure?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's never mentioned.
That's right.
It's never addressed.
Yeah, that's right.
So silence sends a message of consent.
Oh, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. That's what the problem is with the sin of silence. So for whatever motives, these guys in the pulpits don't talk about it, whether it's nickels and noses, whether it's we just want to be affirming or what loving or whatever the motive is. At the same time, they commit the sin of silence. The message that gets sent is that I don't love you enough to tell you the truth. I don't love you. It would be like a parent never talking to us. It would be like growing up in a household where you grew up in this household, but you were never told how to live life. Well, we would say that's neglect. And so what I'm seeing this as is a simple neglect on their part, and because it comes with a price.
It does.
And they don't want to pay the price. And I hate to say it, but the price is you're going to get nasty emails, you're going to get nasty phone calls, you're going to get people walk up out of your church and walk out. I've seen it in mine. Even if I touch on the issue of abortion or other issues, they got up, they walked out. If I touch on anything that does with the end times, there's people who get upset about that. It doesn't matter what the subject is. These people are not prepared for the pushback.
Right.
And that's why I think a lot of them just simply don't say anything.
And there's a reality where we are today. It's not just on the subject of homosexuality. A Christian, and let's break that down a little bit. A Christian being an individual that's a faithful follower of Christ, we embrace the Bible in its entirety or not at all. A lot today of what we preach and teach and disciple is not popular today because people, by and large, just want to feel good.
That's right.
Feeling good, especially in America, has become a narcotic. So today, if you really present the totality of Scripture, you're going to catch it.
You betcha.
There is a price to be paid.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, you think about some of the people out there on different other issues. You know, whatever the biblical worldview covers, not just this subject, you're going to be called xenophobic. You're going to be called racist. You're going to be called homophobic. You're going to be called transgenderphobic, whatever the term, Islamophobic, whatever the issue is that the Bible speaks to, because the Bible speaks on every issue. Then you've got to expect what Jesus said. He goes, they hated me, they're going to hate you.
Exactly.
So if you go out there and tell it like it is, prepare for the pushback. But I can tell you this, a lot of pulpits are not prepared for the pushback. They don't want it, and they don't like receiving nasty letters. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to answer for that.
Yes, as we all will.
As we all will.
When we stand before God and give an account of each of our lives.
Yeah.
Amen. The word gay often is used by individuals to define who they are.
Yeah.
And even though we are sexual beings, our sexuality from God the Father really is a wonderful gift. It's not evil.
Right.
Providing sexual expression stays within His well-defined holy boundary lines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know according to Scripture, for all faithful followers of Christ Jesus, there's only two approved modes of sexual expression per God. One is a man and a woman, the two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another as a marriage vow state till death do we part. That's option one.
Right.
And option two revolves really, I believe, around a question. Are you single? The answer is yes. You don't have to be sexually active, period. Now, trust me, go around the world and preach and teach that little number.
Yeah.
And it's not often well received.
No.
Not at all today.
Not at all.
But that is according to the truth of Scripture.
That's right.
And that must be our standard.
Yes.
If we are truly a faithful follower of Christ.
Right. Because, you know, if you give those narrow definitions and then you're going to go try to tell the world this, well, guess what the world's doing? They're doing everything. Pandora's box is open. Just take another issue, living together before marriage. That's like so common, even Christians are practicing it and don't even realize it's not allowed. They think fornication is okay. And so it's not just even the homosexual, lesbian, or same-sex attraction. It's all these other issues. And so to hold these lines takes a lot of courage now, because pretty much everyone you're going to talk to is out of bounds in these areas. They're not, especially in the world. But unfortunately, it's happening in the church. And because what you said, it's not being addressed in the pulpit. When was the last time the pastor got up and said, hey, guys, living together before your marriage is wrong? When at any church has the last time they heard that? So that sin of silence on whatever issue it is, they'll just think, oh, I guess it's okay.
And thank you for bringing what you just shared to this whole conversation, that for some who believe that homosexual practice is like the absolute total worst, well, we often dismiss the heterosexual sexual sins, if you will, sex before marriage, mm-hmm. habitual adultery, the epidemic of pornography in the church as well as the world.
Yeah.
Those often are dismissed, swept under the rug, but they're just as critical to God as is same-sex practice.
That's right.
Pastor Brandon, once again, I appreciate you so much and always what you bring to this conversation. We have quickly run out of time again.
Yeah.
So you're coming back again next Saturday.
I sure will.
And we will continue this dialogue.
Amen.
To all of our listeners, once again, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Hope you'll tune in again next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.